Well, good morning, Echo Church. So excited to be with you here today. If you haven't discovered this already, maybe you're new around here, hopefully you've learned that we like to have a little bit of fun around here at Echo Church. We may get a little bit loud. That's okay. We think it should be good to have a little bit of fun in church. Nothing like taking the best news on the planet, making it boring, all right? We want to have a little bit of fun on Sunday morning. So if you guys are excited for part three of the Exponential series, let me hear you make a little bit of noise as we get started. It's okay. Come on. And by the way, this is just a note. This is not one of the flavors that Casey mentioned, but this is kind of off book, a little bit of help if you're a parent. If you are a parent and you have kids, piña colada is the best flavor. Probably not teaching them good values, but there will be no stains on their shirt, okay? It's clear, it's white, like, so we just tell our kids, like, you don't have the choice, this is your favorite flavor. Just go get that, okay? Just a little, that's extra, you don't have to pay for that, all right? Part three of our four-part message series called Exponential. It's really just one message with four parts to it. Today is, of course, part three. And the series is all about leaning into all that God has for us, because we fully believe that God has more for every single one of us, more he wants to do in us and more that he wants to do through our lives. The Exponential series is designed to do two things. We've been saying this every week. The two things are this. It's designed to help us as a church move forward into taking some new ground and territory, but we have also designed it to help you for it to be a playbook for taking new ground and territory in your own life. And we've been saying that this is all about reaching more people, whether it's as a church, whether it's in your own life. Moving forward, taking new ground is all about the mission of Jesus, and we want to wrap our lives around that. Here today with part three, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 12. It's been our guidebook for stepping into new territory, following God into the unknown. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls a man named Abram to go and to move. God does this because God has a plan. He's had a plan since the beginning of time. He's going to carry it on to completion. And to bring about God's plan, he always uses people. He always does. He's going to use a man named Abram to actually develop a people and a nation. They're going to impact the whole earth. We're going to read about it today. Let me walk through and give you a little bit of where we've been and where we're going. Verse 1 is this. We talked about this in week 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, everything that's comfortable for you, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Your job is to go, and I will reveal the details as you do. We've said that the exponential vision, it always starts with God. We don't come up with a vision and ask God to bless it. God has a vision, and we get on board with what he's doing. So our response is faith. Faith is our response to God's plan. We've shared how we're actually going to be physically moving as a church about a mile down the road. And so on September 8th, we're going to be celebrating our second birthday, which we're really excited about. It's going to be a lot of fun and looking back over 2 years of what God has done. But moreover, we're going to be looking ahead to all that we believe God is going to do and is doing in the future. It's going to be a really fun day. Make sure you mark your calendars. We're going to have train rides and inflatables and just all kinds of fun stuff. But it's not only our second birthday. It's going to be our grand opening worship service at the new location. And we're moving down the road to Avon Middle School South. And so we cannot be more excited for what God has in store for that. Somebody's excited this morning. All right. I like it. So today what I'd like to do is share a little bit more of how and why we're going to do this. I'll get into that in just a moment. Verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation. He's still talking to Abram. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Abram, I'm going to make your name great. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I want you to be a blessing to others. To be exponentially generous, we said last week, is to have this mindset that I am blessed. You have to believe that first. I am blessed. I have many blessings in my life. But God did this so that I can be a blessing to others. We've been talking about how faith steps always require us to move with God. They often require us to move beyond ourselves, and it's usually uncomfortable. Have you ever seen that? Like whenever you're taking faith steps with God, it's usually uncomfortable. It's moving you beyond your preconceived comfort zones. And we've shared how next Sunday as a church, we're going to have that opportunity to take some faith steps with God. So much of what we see and utilize here at Echo Church, the chairs you're sitting on, the stage that I'm standing on and beyond, it was provided by somebody else, right? We're only 2 years old, and whenever we were raising funds to start Echo Church, there were dozens of people in other states and churches and organizations that believed in the mission and vision of Echo. They believed that Indianapolis needed a church like Echo, and so they gave generously and we've been able to take advantage of that in significant ways, and they've made a huge difference. But part of what we said as we look ahead to the next chapter of Echo is it's our turn to begin to invest in those that are going to come in the future. And so what we've been talking about with this move, there is a financial need with this so we can purchase new production equipment, new kids equipment, new signage, and we've done everything we can do to be as cost effective as possible and reuse things and even sell off some of the things we're not going to use. And we've said we think we can do this for $60,000. And what we've been talking about, how God's been doing incredible things. So next Sunday, we'll have the opportunity to receive that offering. But I'd also love to share with you, and I got to share a little bit of this on week one, and it kind of keeps growing, is that we've already, before even receiving the offering next Sunday, we've already received through donations and pledges $36,000, which is just kind of like blowing us away, right? We haven't received the offering yet. So if you would like to participate in the exponential offering, you're welcome to do so. You can do so today, any point during the week, or next Sunday. Pledges are accepted. We're just asking the donations be given by September 1st so we can be good to the vendors that are working with us. But God's moving, and there's just a great opportunity that we get to be a part of. And so what we said in week one is we're inviting you to pray about how God is asking you to be a part of the next chapter of Echo. There's a lot of ways to do that. I'm going to talk about it a little bit today, a lot next week. But one key way that you can be a part of it is that offering. And so we're not asking for money. All we've ever done in this season, but ever, is just invite you to pray. Just would you pray and ask God how he'd like you to participate? And then just do what God says. And we'll high-five you and celebrate whatever God invites you to do. Just go and move with God. Verse 3, let's keep moving forward. Verse 3 is this: I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4 is what we're going to look at next week. So Abram went. I love his simple faith. God says to go, and he moves with God. As the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram acts upon God's call to move. Next Sunday, I'm going to detail to a great extent the actions, the moves that we're going to make over the next couple of months that we want to invite you to be a part of, that we think is really going to send us into the future that God has for us. Today, I want to jump off of verse 3. So let's go back to it for just a moment. Remind us what he said. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Can we agree that's quite an extraordinary statement for God to make? Only God can make it. Through you, through one person, I'm going to bless the entire earth. It's a very audacious statement to make. And without being crude, right? Listen, Abram is 75 years old. He's not getting any younger. His lovely bride is not getting any younger. What do you mean? Because Abram has absolutely no offspring. What do you mean, God, you're going to make of me a great nation, a great people? How could you make my name great and give me a lineage? I'm 75 years old. But God says it, and Abram believes it. It's incredibly audacious. Abram, through you, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. But I think it's equally audacious that Abram believes it. If God was to say that to you, what would you think? You're going to bless the whole world through me? Abram believes it. He believes God. He believes that God is going to do something in and through him. He believes, and his faith, this is important, his faith will impact the whole earth. Today we're going to talk about exponential impact. If you've got your message notes out, I want to encourage you to write this down. If you don't, you're welcome to grab them out and follow along. We'll have some fill-in-the-blanks for you. And it's simply this: exponential impact is the result of our faith meeting God's favor. Exponential impact is the result of our faith meeting God's favor. Listen, believe it or not, God wants to use your life in a similar way. When we read the Bible, we need to read their promises of what God was making to them and see that it actually extends to us and to our lives. Today, I want us to see our lives and our church in a new light, a fresh light, that God wants to use us to impact more people than we can even imagine today. I wonder if you believe that. Exponential impact is the result of our faith meeting God's favor. God says go, we move with God. And listen, when we do the right things, God's favor can't help but find you. When we do the right things, God's favor can't help but find you. Now, grace and favor are different things. God's grace is free. You can't do anything to earn God's grace. He gives you his grace, and all you can do is receive it. But favor is different. listen, grace is free, but favor is found. And I fully believe that there are things we can do that can actually attract God's favor in our lives. I was first introduced to this concept many years ago by a book by Pastor Wayne Cordero. He was a pastor down in Hawaii. How's that for a calling, right? Like somebody's got a pastor in Hawaii, right? He was called to pastor in Hawaii. He had this amazing church, and he talked about in this book these traits that are irresistible to God, traits of a church. If a church does these things, God finds it irresistible. The idea is simply this, that what you're doing and the way you're doing it, who you're being, is so in line with who God is and his purpose that God can't help but put his favor behind you. And as a church, it's my goal to lead us to aim at the very heart of God, to do the kind of things that actually make God's heart beat faster. Because listen, where you aim matters. Let me give us a little illustration. In 2004, in the Olympic Games in Athens, American marksman Matthew Emmons was one shot away from winning the gold. He had a commanding lead going into the final round of the 50-meter three-position rifle competition. He had averaged 9.3 on his first nine shots, and all he needed was a 7.2 on his final shot, and the gold was as good as his. He took a deep breath, aimed, and fired, and he hit the bullseye, but the problem is that the buzzer indicating a hit did not sound. There was great confusion among everybody, and what they discovered is that Emmons had actually made the oldest mistake in the book. He was shooting in lane three, but he was aiming in lane two. And what he actually achieved was nothing. He actually got last place because he aimed at the wrong target. Listen, if you succeed at the wrong thing, you still fail. If you succeed at the wrong thing, you still fail. It's like the pilot that comes over the intercom and says, I've got good news and I've got bad news, right? Good news is we're making great time. Bad news is we're lost. Right? We're not sure where we are and where we're going. And listen, is that not a commentary on our culture right now? Like we're running so hard and so fast, but at what are we aiming? In his legendary books, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey remarks, some people are so busy climbing the ladder of success that they fail to realize it's leaning against the wrong wall. Listen, as a church, we want to hit the right bullseye. With our lives, we want to make sure that we don't get to the end and realize we were actually building up against the wrong wall. We want to go after God's heart. So here's what I want to do today. I want to look at three traits. There's more traits than this, but I'm going to look at three traits of a church that is irresistible to God. Three traits that are irresistible to God. And I want to connect the dots to some of the faith steps we're going to be taking over the next few months, specifically with the new space that we're going to have the opportunity to move into. So here's number one. If you're taking notes, it's they focus on what heaven applauds. They focus on what heaven applauds. In Luke 15, Jesus is responding to some religious people. The religious people do not like that Jesus is eating and drinking with what they call sinners. And Jesus wants to tell them that what he's doing is a part of his mission. It's integral to what he's trying to accomplish on earth. And so to do this, he tells them three stories, a story of a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. And in the process, he says something twice. If Jesus says something once, you should listen. If he says something twice, you should mark it down and frame it, right? I mean, it's like he's shaking our shoulders. He's like, listen, I want you to hear this. This is what's most important. And this is what he says twice. Luke 15, verse 7, there will be more rejoicing in heaven. There's a party happening in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. If you want to know why Echo Church exists, it's this. We exist to throw parties in heaven. We want to be doing stuff on earth that's instigating parties in heaven. Well, how do we do that? We help people find their way back to God. It's simply that. Like Jesus, we want to linger with people that are hurting, people that are looking for hope. And one of the reasons we're excited for the new space is we feel like we're going to get that opportunity to linger with people who are looking for hope. We'll have the building to ourselves, right? You know that as we depart here a little bit, there's going to be a lot of people coming in. And I think oftentimes people feel like they've kind of got to get squeezed out. And what we want to do is let people know, no, we're here to pray with you. We're here to connect with you. We want to get to know you, help you connect to others. Listen, we're super excited because we feel like we're going to be able to better care for the guests that God is bringing our way. Now, this is important. This will not happen on its own. You with me? Just because we're in our own space doesn't mean we will actually connect people, pray with people. We're going to have some effort behind that. And part of what we're wanting to do over the next couple of weeks is invite you to join in on that. you're not yet a part of the Dream Team, we would love to have you join in and play your part, because there are so many people in our community that are looking for hope. One of the things we're excited about the new space is the prime location. If you know where Avon Middle School South is, right, it's just down the road here, right on US 36, right? So where all the traffic happens in our community, we're going to be sitting right out there, which means our team will be right at the road waving people in. That's what I'm kind of excited about, right? I mean, our team's going to be right there waving people in. And so thousands of people that are driving up and down US 36 are going to begin hearing a little bit more about Echo Church. And I, for one, am excited because our whole heart, right, is to create parties in heaven. We want more people to know what Jesus is up to. In less than 20 months, we've been a part of seeing 230 parties in heaven. Come on. Like, who wants to sign up for more of those? Like I do. That's what we want to be about. Can I share one more thing with this? For the past year, we've been praying. We've been praying that God would give us more influence, more impact, more opportunity to reach into the schools, more families that are looking for a place to call home, that we'd have an opportunity to steward that well. And so I don't think it's an accident that while we're praying, God invites us to move into a school. You know what I'm saying? And some of you guys know this. You've been around Avon for a while, and Avon Middle School South used to be Avon High School. Can I tell you why I'm kind of excited that it's a middle school right now? Did you know that 70% of people that will make a decision to follow Jesus do so by the age of 14? It's a significant difference. If they're going to make a decision to follow Jesus, overwhelmingly, they'll do so by the age of 14. So where we're going to be worshiping, where we're going to be praying, where we're going to be coming up with big dreams and asking God to do incredible things is where 12, 13, and 14-year-olds are going to be walking every single week. Come on. Like, only God could leverage that and bring that about. We're going to have the opportunity to begin dreaming for them. God, would you bring these families back on a Sunday? Again, it's not going to happen on its own. It's going to be a part of us leaning into the community. The number one trait is they focus on what heaven applauds. Here's the second thing. They have an all-hands-on-deck mentality. They have an all-hands-on-deck mentality. There's an old axiom in the nonprofit world that 20% of people do 80% of the work. And ever since God began putting the dream of Echo Church in our hearts, Katie and I just endeavored. We said, like, that's not going to be Echo Church. Like, we're not going to be a part of that statistic. There's a couple reasons why. One is we just believe that God loves to bless churches when there's a lot of people serving. We just fully believe that. But the other reason, equally important, is you have a God-given purpose, and we want to help bring that about. And so one of the ways that we do that is by helping you get on the team. We want to be a church that has an all-hands-on-deck mentality. God, whatever it takes, we're going to lay it on the line. We want to be a part of it. Can I tell you a story about one of our families, just like happened last night into this morning? I won't single them out, but they were on their 10th wedding anniversary. And they were flying back in yesterday so that they could be here to serve today. Like, come on. How many of you would do that honestly, right? Come on. You don't have to raise your hand. But that's what they were planning for. And they texted me and said, hey, we're on the runway in Miami. We can't get to the gate. It's pouring down rain. We're not sure that we're going to make our connecting flight. There's only one more flight from Miami to Indianapolis. And I'm like, well, this is going to pose a problem because they actually had a couple of critical roles today. And so then we text a little bit longer or a little bit later. I'm so like, what happened? Like, did you make it? And they're like, no, we didn't make our flight to Indianapolis. We're going to fly to Louisville, rent a car, and drive the rest of the way. Like, if I could start adding up the hours for you of what they traveled yesterday just to be here. So he texted me at 3:30 a.m. to say, we just pulled into the house. I'll see you at 6:30 for setup. Can we just give it up for people? Like, we'll do like whatever it takes. Come on. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. That's what God loves to bless. That's why Paul says this, put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. And then he proceeds to talk about how Jesus laid it all on the line, going to die on a cross so that others could experience the hope and freedom that he came to give. One of my all-time favorite passages comes from Luke chapter 5, and some of you might know the story. In Luke 5, Jesus is teaching inside of a house, and the kind of fame about Jesus is starting to grow, so people are flooding into the house, and it gets so full that there's no more room, and the people start listening outside the door, and so you can't even get to the door. Well, these four men come with their paralyzed friend, and they just believe if they can get this man to Jesus, that Jesus can heal him. They don't know what to do because they can't get inside the house, so they decide, we're going to climb up on top of the roof with a man that cannot walk. I don't know how you even figure that out. They get up on the roof, and they start cutting a hole in the roof so they can lower the man down. And can you just picture this from like the perspective of the other people? Like they were trying to get to Jesus too, but these fools are cutting in line. You know what I'm saying? Like I am not like line cutters, but that's what they're doing. But now you got to picture from the perspective of Jesus. Like they're willing to do whatever it takes to get their friend to Jesus. And if you remember the story, it basically goes like this. Jesus looks up at the men. They're lowering their friend down. He looks at the man. And he says, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. Now, I don't even know how you like deal with that theologically. Like that's what Jesus says. Because of their faith, you're forgiven. And then he heals him. He says, get up, take your mat, and walk. All because of their faith, their whatever it takes mentality. Like, we're going to be all hands on deck. Like, we just want our friends to meet Jesus. It reminds me of a man named Raymond in my life. Some of you have heard me talk about Raymond before, but the very first time I went to church as a teenager, I didn't go to church, and our family didn't go to church, and a friend invited me to church, and I was scared to death of church. I didn't trust Christians, but I was desperate to know Jesus. I was like, I want to know about this man named Jesus. If I'm going to church is it, I'll go. And I jumped at the opportunity, but I remember as we were driving up that first Sunday, I was scared to death. I mean, I was just petrified. I'm going to say the wrong thing, wear the wrong thing, sit in somebody's seat, like I'm going to do something wrong, embarrass myself, you know? I remember I walked through the front door of this old country Baptist church, and there's this little tiny foyer, and there's this like big bear of a gentleman, a grandfather figure, in the front door. I'm like, oh, no, here it is, you know? Like he's in a suit, and I walk in, and he reaches out his hand, and he shakes my hand, and he pulls me in close and gives me this big old bear hug, and he looks at me, and he says, welcome home. And can I just tell you, like, all the fears I had just went away. It's not an accident that as you walk around Echo, the very first sign you see is what? Welcome home. It's all over all of our stuff because we want you to have that kind of experience, but we also want you to extend that experience to others. That one moment, that one act of service might have even been forgettable for him at the time, made a significant difference in my life. And that moment, among others, changed my life. And I began thinking this week, I'm just one person, just one life, of all the lives that God has changed through my life, all over the country, hundreds of people whose lives have been changed through my ministry. I'm just one person. Listen, every act of service on your account, God wants to do the exponential work as well. Right? Every time somebody opens a door, every time somebody holds a baby, the dream teamers are outside right now playing with kids and having a blast. Those who are up here strumming on stage or running things back in the bath, every act of service adds up. And when we offer ourselves back to God, God says, I will now do the exponential because you served me in faith. It's amazing what God wants to do through our lives. It begins with this mentality of all hands on deck. Here's the third and final thing. We'll begin to end land the plane. It's this. They pray boldly, they dream big, and they work hard. And that's the characteristics, the traits of a church that's irresistible to God. They pray boldly, they dream big, and they work hard. You remember what I said at the beginning? That we need to start seeing that God desires to use our lives more than we can imagine. Listen, this is a potent combination. Bold prayers, big dreams, working hard. God loves to come alongside of this and say, look at what I could do when you offer yourself back to me. A key reason that we're moving to Avon Middle School South is to accommodate for the growth. There's a lot of growth that's happening right now, but we're also preparing for future growth. Because it's the original high school, it's got this big, wonderful old auditorium that we cannot wait to use. But can I also just invite us to start dreaming about the day that God actually fills it up? And we're going to do some things to kind of, you know, make it smaller and more intimate, kind of like this setting at first. But listen, let's start dreaming about the day God's going to fill it up. Or beyond that, when God starts taking us beyond one auditorium, we don't know what that's going to look like, whether it's church planning or campuses. We'll see what God has in store. But God wants us to start praying and dreaming big and working hard toward those things even now, even today. We're going to dream big. We're going to dream big. So much of what we're hoping to do is to see God come and do amazing things in our midst. One of the things I've been celebrating of late here at Echo is there's been a lot of babies born at Echo Church lately. Have you guys seen this? Like, I don't know what's happening here, but like, there's been a lot of babies born. That was a joke. You can laugh. It's okay. Maybe a bad one, but it was We've had a lot. Maybe you remember back at Father's Day when the stage was full, right? There was a lot of people up on stage, and we just got to celebrate a lot of baby dedications. There's been several babies born since Father's Day, which is awesome. And how amazing are those that are being born into Echo Church? We're going to have the privilege of sharing the gospel with them. Like, how amazing is that? But so often I'm reminded we think right here and right now, but God is thinking nations and generations, right? He's thinking beyond this. In fact, I think it's why the psalmist even remarks in Psalm 22:31 that babies not yet conceived will hear the good news. Think about that. Our acts of faith today, the things we're going to do, our big dreams, our bold prayers today are going to bring about the good news being heard by people who aren't even alive today. Come on, who wants to start dreaming about that with me? That God's got something far beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. We're going to dream big. We're going to pray boldly. So often, I think we're content with just getting by. If we pray, we just sort of pray for the needs of the day. God, I just need to get through today. God, I need a little help with this financial situation, that relational strain. And God loves to help and move in those situations. But God wants us to ask for more. Go back to Psalm chapter 2, verse 8. Ask me. God's saying, I want you to. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possessions. Listen, think about your recent prayers and how could they be enhanced? How could they be changed if you actually began to pray some bold prayers on top of that? I want you to mark your calendars for August 18th. You can mark that on your notes today. August 18th, we're going to start 21 days of prayer. Back at the beginning of the year, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. August, we do 21 days of prayer and feasting, right? Which one do you like better? So that's the one we're heading into right now. We want to invite you, come alongside us, pray some big and bold dreams with us. 21 days, we're going to lean up right up against September 8th. We'll end on September 7th. We're 21 days to pray some bold prayers leading up to our second birthday, our grand opening in the new space. Why don't you pray some bold prayers alongside us? Of God, what could you do through a church community? God, everything that you can do in a church and in a community, God, would you do in us? This series is all about these three, right? Bold dreams, big prayers, hard work. Why would we ask any less of God? A God that tells us, ask me for the nations and I'll give them to you. Why would we ask for anything less? Listen, small thinking and small prayers, I fully believe are an insult to God. Not that he doesn't want to help in those, he does. But listen, when we bring big dreams, bold prayers, hard work before God, it honors him. And I just think it's irresistible. He wants to bless it. He wants to come alongside and say, if you think I can do that, watch, I'm going to do it. God invites us to believe. Let me end with a quick illustration. The Roman Empire at its peak had 2 million square miles to its name, 50,000 miles of roads, 90 million citizens. At the time, it was 20% of the world. Juxtapose that with 120 Jews called Christians huddled in a room about the tenth of the size of this room, maybe even less. And they were praying big, bold prayers. If you were placing bets that day on the Roman Empire or these 120 Jews that called themselves Christians, which one would still be around today? You would place your bets on the Roman Empire every day and twice on Sunday, right? And yet, how do you count for 2,000 years later and the Roman Empire is gone and you can't name five Caesars? Salad doesn't count, all right? Little Caesar, love the crazy bread, doesn't count. And yet, today, 2 billion people call on the name of Jesus. And it started with 120 people huddled in a room praying big, bold prayers. God, would you use us for more people to experience your hope? And that day, he added to the number 3,000 people. I think they could kind of hear the train coming of what God was going to do. He wants to do the exponential in and through our lives. Listen, Jesus says, I will build my church. He doesn't say, I'll build your church. You will build my church. And he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You need to know you are here on purpose. God made you on purpose. He made you for a purpose. He wants to use your life so that more people can experience the hope that is inside of you, that's inside of this church family. Our role, our job is to give our life back to him and see the impact, the exponential impact, that he can bring about when we're willing to offer our lives back to him. I think for most of us, we have a hard time visualizing, hard time seeing. right? God comes to Abram and says, through you, I'm going to bless the whole earth. What do you do with that? And yet, God wants to do similar in our lives. If we go back to Genesis 12 for a moment, God makes this audacious promise. Skip ahead to Genesis 15, just three chapters later, but what you might miss is that it's about 25 years later, and the promise of God still hasn't come about as yet. So if it was a hard thing at 75, now it's impossible, right, for Abram at 100. And Abram he's huddled up in this tent, he's praying, he's looking up to God, and he's saying, God, I can't see it. I don't know how you're going to bring this promise about. I don't know what you're going to do. Maybe I heard you wrong. Do you ever feel like that? God, maybe I heard you wrong. I thought you were going to do this, but I don't see it. And in classic fashion, God has to move Abram out of the tent. He has to move him forward. He's going to take him out of where he's comfortable. He says, no, I need you to get outside of your tent. And this is what transpires. Genesis 15:5. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. He's got to move him out. You can't see it in this tent. You got to move out and look at my tent. And I'm telling you, I'm doing something big. You just got to keep trusting me. And we know the promise holds because if you're a follower of Jesus today, you're a part of the promise. You're one of the stars. And God doesn't want to just extend the promise to you. He wants to extend the promise through you. That just as he made the promise to Abram, go out and look up, and if you can count the stars, that'll be your inheritance. He actually says it to you too. If you'll just give your life back to me, if you'll trust me, if you'll move with me, if you'll take the faith steps I'm inviting you to, well, you can look up, and if you can count the stars, you'll be able to count the inheritance, the number of people I want to use your life to me. God wants to do the exponential through you, through us as a church family. And today I'm asking us, do we believe it? Will we respond to God and say, God, everything you aspire to do in me, God, would you do it? Would you pray with me? So, Father, we thank you that you are a good and faithful and kind and loving Father. Lord, it would be more than enough for us to receive your grace, to receive salvation, to have eternity in heaven with you. And yet, you invite us to be a part of that grace, that hope, that love extending to even more. And so today, God, we want to say yes back to you. In fact, as we're praying, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. If you say today, yes, that's me. I want my life to be a part of what heaven applauds. I want to have the mentality of all hands on deck, whatever it takes, God, use me. You say, I want to pray bold prayers and walk out big dreams and work hard, giving God everything I've got. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't want you to stand up or come to the front, but I want to give you an opportunity to say to God, God, that's me. Would you use my life far beyond what I could ask, think, or imagine? If that's you, would you just raise your hand up right now and say, God, that's me. Just raise it up high for a moment. That's wonderful. Anybody else? Anybody else before we put our hands down? That's wonderful. Put your hands down. If that's you, at this crossroads of making a decision, say, God, use my life. If that's you, would you just pray this simple prayer in your own heart? You don't have to pray it out loud. You can say, God, thank you for what you're doing in me. And God, thank you for what you want to do through me. Would you say, God, my answer in advance is yes. Everything you aspire to do through my life, God, I'm open to it. God, would you have the kind of impact in my life that you have brought about in my life, that you've given me hope? God, I want other people to experience the hope that is in me. Would you just tell him right now, God, whatever you ask, I'm in. God loves that prayer of faith. As we continue to pray, I want to pray for one more group of people. Maybe you're here today for this reason. The reason you got up, the reason you're here is for this. Maybe today is your day to begin a relationship with Jesus. What do I mean by that? Jesus gave up his life on the cross for you, so that your past and your sins, all your failures could be forgiven. And he rose up from the dead so that you could have a new life. If today you say, I don't know if I have that, but I want to be sure, I want to be certain that I have a relationship with Jesus, to have my past forgiven, new life ahead of me. If that's you, again, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I don't want you to stand up. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If that's you, would you simply just slip your hand up? I'd love to have the opportunity to pray for you. Say, today's my day to begin a relationship with Jesus. If that's you, would you pray this simple prayer with me? your own heart, would you say, God, thank you for your love. Say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me. Just tell him that. Say, Lord, I believe that he rose up from the dead to give me a new life. So, Lord, I turn from the past and I turn towards your son. Lord, I invite you into my life. Lord, I ask that your spirit would come and guide me for the rest of my days. Lord, for all of us, God, would you raise our faith? Would you raise our expectation and our awareness of what you can and what you desire to do through us? And God, we ask together as a church family, Lord, all that you can do in a church, would you do it in us? Because we want more people to experience your love. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.